It was a beautiful, bright, late summer day, not unlike this day was, quickly became one of the darkest days in our nation's history, and by and far the saddest day in the history of the United States Fire Service. As news feeds went from one horrific event to the next, we knew that our great land was under attack, and our way of life here in the U.S. was threatened like never before. By the end of that day, we were in deep mourning for the lives lost, but we immediately began to overcome. We as Americans began to take stock in what was most important to us. We hugged our loved ones like never before. We went to church and we prayed. We recognized those who protect us, and a spirit of patriotism not seen since the end of the Second World War took over our land. As a nation, we swore to never forget the events of 9/11/2001, and your participation here this evening is evidence that you honored that commitment, and on behalf of the brave men and women with me here today, I extend our deepest thanks. From the perspective of a firefighter, there really aren't words to adequately express the feelings that we felt as we watched our brothers and sisters respond to the scenes that played out in New York City, in Washington, D.C., and at Shanksville, Pennsylvania. From the beginning, they were scenes of chaos without much hope for successful outcomes. And as the towers fell and as the Pentagon burned, we knew that the casualty rate would be high. But those first responders were never slowed by the peril they faced. They continued on in hopes of doing what they were sworn to do. The Bible in the book of John says, greater love has no one than is this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. And that is precisely what happened repeatedly that day. That is the expectation of each of us that wears the badge, whether it be the military, fire and EMS, or law enforcement. Thousands of innocent Americans lost their lives that day, from office workers, first responders, pilots and flight attendants, and airline passengers. I'm sure all of them left home that morning expecting to return home safely at the end of their day. May we never forget those innocent people. There were 343 members of the fire department in New York that were killed in the line of duty that day. They came from all ranks and all ages, from the New York Fire Commissioner William Freehan, the Chief of the Department Peter Gansey, Chaplain Michael Judge, down to a 22-year-old firefighter, Michael Camerata. They laid down their lives, and may we never forget them. 37 Port Authority police and 23 NYPD officers also gave their lives that day. May we never forget them. And 8 EMS workers died in the line of duty on that day, and may we never forget them. Today, public safety agencies like fire and police departments stand at the ready to be America's first line of defense. Our military in this country, God bless them all, protect our borders and our freedoms throughout the world. But as seen on September 11, 2001, our first responders throughout America are forever tasked to be on the scene of tragedy immediately if that is what is needed. Today, we are better equipped and trained to handle such emergencies thanks to local and federal commitments to fund our operations. We can only hope that these commitments continue and that we as a nation don't become complacent. As much as we hope and pray that our hometowns are never again subject to violence and terror, we know today that the threat is real. It is up to all of us to remain ever vigilant to ensure that we are ready, as we all know that a cowardly opponent like those who attacked us on that day prey on the weak and unprepared. In closing, on behalf of all those standing here with me today, I'd like to again thank you for your participation here this evening. As the chief of your fire department, I promise to you all to have our personnel and our equipment in a state of readiness for whatever emergency might befall our community. I promise our commitment to serve in whatever capacity needed. I ask that you continue to join us all in remembering the events of September 11, 2001, to remember those who gave all that day, and to remind those that have forgotten just how important this day really is. Thank you.
On behalf of the Clinton Police Department, Police Chief Kevin Jerian, and the men and women of the Clinton Police Department, I want to thank you for taking time out of this beautiful Sunday evening to be here with us and help and honor and remember the victims of 9/11, as well as the dedicated and first responders of this community. Unfortunately, Chief Jerian is not here with us today. It's not because he didn't want to be here or because he is not sympathetic to those that lost their lives on September 11th or the families of the victims of 9/11. Chief Jerian, who spent the first 28 years of his law enforcement career with the Chicago Police Department, was one of the 40 Chicago police officers who traveled to Ground Zero following the horrific terrorist attacks on our country September 11, 2001. Chief Jerian and the contingent of Chicago police officers spent nearly 2 weeks helping the New York City Police Department patrol Ground Zero, witnessing the aftermath of the worst terrorist attacks our country has ever experienced. Having worked with Chief Jerian for over a year now, I have learned his experience in New York after 9/11 had an unforgettable impact on his life. Unfortunately, I don't believe it's an experience he is happy to have ingrained in his mind. Even with all the destruction and carnage Chief Jerian witnessed during his efforts in New York City on those days, he felt committed to return to this area this week, where so many of his fellow police officers and firefighters lost their lives. In order to honor those first responders and their families, Chief Jerian is not here today because he's gathering for some of the first responders participating in a short ceremony with those first responders at Ground Zero in that area to honor those that lost their lives, both law enforcement, firefighters, EMS, and all the victims of 9/11. Chief Jerian asked that I apologize on his behalf for not being here to be part of this presentation today and also reassure the community that he has been put in charge of leading, that he is spending this 15th anniversary of 9/11 attacks also honoring those that lost their lives on that horrific day. Although we gather today to acknowledge our appreciation for the hardworking, courageous, and dedicated public safety employees and military personnel, EMS personnel, and dedicated public safety employees, in addition to all the law enforcement, EMS, and military, all they do to keep us safe each and every day, we must remember a quote made by someone far greater than I, we will never forget. I believe if you turn and ask any one of the public safety first responders standing around you, next to you, they will tell you this presentation is not about them. I believe they will tell you it's about the ones that made the ultimate sacrifice. They will tell you it's those that lost their lives in the line of duty. They are the ones that lost their lives fighting to keep our country, our communities, our streets safe. Today, on the 15th anniversary of the worst terrorist attacks our country has ever experienced, we gather to honor the memory of all those that lost their lives on 9/11. As was stated, Flight 93, 40 lives. The Pentagon, 184 lives. World Trade Center, 2,753 lives. As I was doing my research to prepare for this, one of the toughest statements, facts that I read, in addition to all the lives that were lost, is an estimated 3,000 children were left without a parent. The phrase, we will never forget, must remain in all of our minds. We must make sure we never forget what the innocent victims endured on that terrible day and honor those that sacrificed their own lives trying to save others. Having spent the last 26 years as a police officer here in Clinton, I feel very fortunate to have had the opportunity to work with the men and women standing amongst us today, and not just the police, fire, and medical personnel, but all public employees, the men and women of our military, private employees, utility services, and the many others, some of which never receive any recognition for the hard work they do to help our community in a time of crisis. I have to say I'm very proud to be a member of an organization in which these employees oftentimes put themselves in harm's way in order to help someone they don't even know. As unusual as that may sound, and the fact that that type of action would go against almost every basic safety principle known, these responders will not hesitate. These men and women are blind to bias. They know no boundaries and oftentimes will be forced to make split-second decisions that may even cause them to be judged by others in the coming days, weeks, and months. However, they will still not hesitate to do what needs. As Chief Brown said on September 11, 2001, 343 firefighters, 60 police officers lost their lives doing what they were trained to do, help others regardless of the dangers they were exposed to. Rest in peace, our brother and sister firefighters and police officers. You'll never be forgotten. As I said, I was doing some research. I came across a poem that I think was very fitting. I'm just going to read it. It's called The Power of One by Cheryl Sawyer. As the soot and dirt and ash rained down, we became one color. As we carried each color down the stairs of the burning building, we became one class. As we lit candles of waiting and hope, we became one generation. As we fell to our knees and prayed for strength, we became one faith. As the firefighters and police officers fought their way into the inferno, we became one gender. As we whispered and shouted words of encouragement, we spoke one language. As we gave our blood in lines a mile long, we became one body. As we mourned together the great loss, we became one family. As we cried tears of grief and loss, we became one soul. As we retell with pride of the sacrifice of heroes, we became one people. We are one color, one class, one generation, one gender, one faith, one language, one body, one family, one soul, one people. We are the power of one. We are united. We are America. The Power of One by Cheryl Sawyer. I'm not really known for being real quick when I start talking, so I am going to try and expedite this because I know the people behind me would love for me to hurry up and sit down so we can wrap this up tonight. With that, I promise to make this short and sweet. When I was considering what to say today, one thing was for certain. I thought there were a lot of people that, in addition to the heroes, as people identify public safety, first responders as, we appreciate that. We like to think that we take that and everybody's humble when we hear that. I have to say, I don't live far from this site. And over the last several years, I've had the opportunity to drive by here multiple times daily, every day. And I witness great acts of I'll call heroism, kindness, that people honor the memories of 9/11 every day, every week. And I think we appreciate the fact that everybody's here tonight to honor us, first responders, public safety, and all those that we're not giving credit to tonight. By no means is there an attempt to omit anybody, but we know that unintentionally we will forget to mention somebody. I drive past this site many times a day, and in doing so, there are several people I notice working hard all the time to keep this area clean, presentable, all in order to honor those that lost their lives on 9/11 and to honor the first responders and military personnel. I know that often we find it easy to point out the negative things in these communities, and we hear about them all the time. Yet, sometimes we fail to address all the positives that occur in the communities every day, and we don't take the time to address those, and we don't share the good things that everybody does in these communities, not just ours, Fulton, Comanche, DeWitt, state, the country, and we don't hear about those things. So I was gonna take this as an opportunity to share just a couple of things that I see that goes hand in hand with honoring the 9/11 memorial. First of all, Clinton Trees Forever, and Trees Forever, John Mulholland, what a man. Can't say much more. John obviously is not the only one on that committee, but for years and years and years, just busted his tail up here trying to make this a reality and look at it today. John, thank you. Joel Atkinson, I know somebody had mentioned this here just a minute ago, I believe. As I said, I live just a short distance away from here, and I see this every day. Here's a man that keeps this area looking great week after week. He mows and trims this grass, all with his own equipment on his own time. He's been doing this for as long as I can remember. I had to call Joel today. I made up a question. He doesn't know that. He thinks I actually called him for something real. I really had to feel him out and find out what he was doing up here all the time, and I got the answers I needed. He gets nothing for it, but he's honoring the 9/11 memorial every week for as long as I can remember to keep this place looking like it does. Joel, thank you for what you do as a first responder, and just as important, what you do for this living memorial. Greg Obrin, I would assume that most of you know Greg from his years of hard work, coaching, refereeing games, so-so in that area, and all of his other community involvement. Just kidding, Greg. I would also assume that you know Greg is a department head for the city of Clinton, and he's at a, which means there's no overtime for Greg. He works many hours, and I've known Greg for many years and knows he doesn't shy away for work. He gets done what needs to be gets done, and sometimes with very little help, but he has to do it, oftentimes for the betterment of others. This morning, I happened to work the half marathon here in Clinton, and I came home, sat down. I was a little tired. The morning started early. A short time later, my 17-year-old daughter pulled in the driveway from volunteering at the half marathon and said, "Dad, Mr. Oberon's down there at the 9/11 Memorial already setting that all up by himself." And I said, "By himself?" She said, "Yeah, I just came by there. He's down there by himself." I thought, she's just trying to get me out of the house. She wants me out of here for some reason. I didn't know why, but so I jumped in the car quick, or ATV. I ran down here, and lo and behold, here's Greg down here all by himself setting this memorial up, the stage, the chairs, sweating. Didn't even ask for help. I said, "You need anything? I'll get it done." Greg, great job, and thank you for all you do. I'm sure there are many, many, many more organizations, people, businesses that have contributed and have been instrumental in making this living memorial what it is today, and I apologize for anyone that I'm leaving out or failed to mention. If you were part of this living memorial, this memory to public safety, first responders, military, EMS, medical staff, and all those that help our community stay safe in times of crisis, thank you very much for all you've done. In closing, and on behalf of Chief Jerian, we want to personally thank each and every one of you for your support you have given to all public safety workers in this community. As one of those workers myself, I can say we truly appreciate it. I hope and pray for the safety of each and every citizen in this community, surrounding communities, around the world. I also hope and pray for the safety of all first responders and military personnel who I know are doing the best that they can do each and every day. Thank you.
Good evening. I was asked to, in my part of the talk, to reflect on how our lives have changed since that day in 2001, September 11th. If we each of you took time to think about it, I know you would come up with many ways that our lives have changed. We probably have all heard about free speech, right? But what have we heard about civil discourse? What has happened to civil, respectful discourse? What has happened to debating differences of opinion without rancor and abusive language? I don't know that I believe the loss of civility in our daily conversations was brought about by the events of 9/11. Actually, I don't believe that. But somehow, since that day, many things in our society have changed. And the willingness to have open, respectful discussions seems to have become more rare in this past decade. By definition, civil discourse is communication in a thoughtful, respectful manner. It doesn't mean that kind of speech has to be deferential or overly polite. But it does mean entering a discussion with some level of respect for the other side. It is based on understanding and truth. It's about being open to ideas and opinions that may be new. Most importantly, it means listening. Listening and trying to understand why a person thinks and believes in the way he or she does. Civil discourse requires us, when beginning a conversation, to entertain the possibility that we could be wrong. It requires the same three conditions that you might try to have in a serious conversation with your family or relatives. The first would be the assumption of goodwill on the part of the other. Secondly, the recognition that you may not have all the answers now. And third, the understanding that another's experiences may bring something new to the conversation. Free speech and civil discourse work together. Freedom of speech not only allows a variety of perspectives to compete in the marketplace of ideas, but also grants the least powerful in society to have a voice. In this era of greater communications and the rapid growth of social media in particular, we need to call ourselves to the practice of respectful discourse. It means simply refusing to participate in conversations and messaging that denigrates or humiliates another person, group, or individual. How do we memorialize the victims of the horrific destruction of September 11th, 2001? I believe we do so by building a better world, one in which people care and protect one another, and one in which people work together in respectful manners. Thank you.